Section 2. Historic Native American Tribes. As you read, look for how the arrival of European explorers and settlers both challenged and changed the Native Americans living in Louisiana. Characteristics of the tribes that the European explorers encountered in Louisiana. Terms: immunity, tribe, treaty. The shift from prehistoric to historic cultures is marked by the arrival of the written word. In North America, the historic period began when European explorers and settlers encountered and began to make written records about the Native people's life and customs. Of course, the Native Americans had a history of their own, but they had passed down stories and important information about life through the oral tradition of storytelling. This handed down the important truths to each new generation, but left no written records behind. Explorers from Spain and France made the first written records about the life and customs of Native Americans. Europeans were most interested in what they were observing in the present. They wrote letters home and also kept detailed journals and records of their travels and the people they found. Unfortunately, the earliest Europeans did not understand native languages. They also misunderstood or misinterpreted the significance of Native American customs and practices because these new cultures were so different from their own. Although the historical records about Native Americans are imperfect, they give us some ability to understand the Native people who called Louisiana home. Spanish encounters with Native Americans. Spanish explorer Hernando de Soto traveled from Havana, Cuba, and began exploring the southern region of the modern United States in 1539, looking for gold. He arrived with hundreds of soldiers, horses, bloodhounds, and pigs. The Spanish also brought diseases with them to North America. Although this was unintentional, the native people had no immunity, natural resistance, to these European illnesses. Over the next two centuries, diseases like influenza and smallpox killed nearly half of the Native American population. French encounters with Native Americans. Around 1700, when the French had begun to explore and settle, they sometimes came upon empty villages. Although they did not understand why, these villages had been abandoned when influenza, measles, smallpox, or cholera swept through. Once these epidemics, widespread diseases, arrived, they could quickly kill all or most of the people in a village. Those who survived often fled. Sadly, they carried the European diseases to other groups of people and villages, repeating the process begun by the encounter with the Spanish. Despite the deaths of nearly half the native population, the French settlers and explorers identified a number of tribes. They wrote down the tribal names according to how they heard the native people describe themselves. A tribe is a group of native people who share a name, common ancestry, language, and way of living. The French sometimes made mistakes in identifying tribes because, at first, they did not understand their languages or the traits that made groups distinct from one another. Although tribes spoke many different languages, most could communicate in a common language called Mobilian. This language was used for trade and was made up from a combination of Choctaw words and commonly understood signs and gestures. Historic tribes. When the French arrived in what is present-day Louisiana, they encountered seven major tribal groups. Some groups had to move to new locations as a result of European settlement. Virtually all Native Americans began to use European trade goods in their everyday life. Many of these goods, like pots and blankets, made life easier. Other items, like guns, changed the way Native Americans hunted. They also changed the way tribal groups fought among themselves. This new kind of warfare affected the previous alliances and understandings the tribes had with one another. All Native people experienced these changes, but for some, these changes were more harmful than for others. The Atakapa and the Natchez were two of the seven tribal groups that existed in Louisiana at the time of European settlement. Both of them had ceased to exist by the 1730s. The five other native groups were the Caddo, Chitimacha, Choctaw, Homa, and Tunica peoples. In later years, the Tunica would merge with the Biloxi and become known as the Tunica-Biloxi tribe. The Cushata, another distinct tribe, moved to Louisiana by the early 1800s. Despite the many challenges they faced, the six tribes that remain in Louisiana today have been able to maintain their identity and culture as distinct people. The following sections provide a brief history of all eight of these historic Native American groups. Atakapa. The Atakapa lived in the southwest corner of modern Louisiana. Early European observers considered the Atakapa very primitive, not advanced. Their tribal name meant eaters of flesh in Choctaw. Their cannibalistic, human flesh-eating practices were probably confined to eating the body parts of an enemy they had killed in a belief that they could absorb that person's power. The Atakapa suffered greatly from European disease. The small numbers who survived epidemic disease were eventually driven from their tribal homes by French and Spanish settlers. Natchez. The primary village of the Natchez people was called Grand Village. It was located on the eastern bluffs above the Mississippi River near present-day Natchez, Mississippi. The related Tinsa and Avoyal tribes lived downriver on the opposite bank. The Europeans described the Natchez as fearsome warriors who lived in large, protective villages. By 1700, disease had already taken a toll, and many Natchez had separated into smaller villages. The Natchez had a highly developed class structure. A king sat at the top of the social order. He was known as the Great Sun and was carried around on an elaborate stretcher called a litter. He also had several wives. He even held the power of life and death over his subjects. When he died, other members of the tribe were killed or buried with him. High-ranking people in the middle of Natchez society were called nobles. The people at the bottom were called stinkards. Whatever their social status, tattoos were a common part of the culture and virtually everyone had them. Besides decorating their bodies with tattoos, the Natchez also liked to adorn their clothing with accessories like red belts made from dyed opossum fur. Europeans remarked about the elaborate clothing worn by Natchez women. The women created a distinctive fabric similar to modern-day linen from mulberry bark. They were creative in pottery making as well. They discovered they could strengthen their pottery by adding Spanish moss to their clay. The Natchez chose the location of their villages very skillfully. They settled near abundant populations of deer, bison, bear, porcupine, and birds. They also gathered fruits and vegetables and grew crops in the rich soil located near the Mississippi River. Unfortunately, their rich lands were very attractive to some French settlers. In 1729, the French governor and the commandant of a fort near the Natchez White Apple Village ordered the inhabitants off their land. The French wanted to turn the fertile Natchez lands into a tobacco plantation. This chapter began with an account of the tragic events that followed. The few Natchez who survived into the 1730s could not reestablish villages for fear of French reprisal, getting back revenge. They became part of other groups like the Creek and Cherokee, and the Natchez tribe came to an end. Caddo. The Caddo, or Caddo Hadacho, were a specific tribe, but the French applied the name to an entire group of tribes, including the Natchitoches and the Wichita. The Caddo had settled along the Red River and its tributaries by the time Europeans arrived. Before that, they had lived in the area that became Arkansas. On a modern map, Caddo Lake and Caddo Parish are named for this tribe. The Caddo were traders. One trade good they had a lot of was salt, which they were able to trade for horses with other tribes on the western plains. Later, they traded horses to their eastern neighbors, the Tunica. The Caddo became skilled with their horses and used them both in trade and hunting. Fish from the lakes, rivers, and creeks near their settlements had long provided food, but the Caddo were also farmers. In addition to crops like corn and beans, they also raised cattle, hogs, and poultry. Because of their location, the Caddo were affected by border disputes between the French and Spanish, and later between the Spanish and the United States. After the United States purchased Louisiana, the Caddo began to trade with the Americans. To do this, they had to accept United States trade regulations. Unfortunately, the trade goods provided to the Caddo were often in short supply or of poor quality. In 1835, the Caddo made a treaty, a formal agreement between two or more nations, with the United States. The Caddo agreed to sell more than 1 million acres of their land for $80,000. Part was to be paid in cash and the balance to be paid in trade goods. The lands they sold stretched from DeSoto Parish north to Texarkana. After the sale, the Caddo moved west and joined related tribes in Texas. The Caddo were forced to move yet again when the Texans, like the Europeans and Americans before them, wanted to settle these areas. They began pushing out Native Americans, including the Caddo. Today, the Caddo people live together as the United Caddo Nation on a reservation in Oklahoma. Despite a history filled with hardship, the Caddo have retained many of their ancient cultural practices. They have preserved dozens of traditional songs, and they hold yearly dances that commemorate important parts of their culture. They also have organizations on the reservation that pass along traditional art forms, like pottery making, to the next generation of Caddo people. Chittimacha. The Chittimacha date their origins to about AD 500, when their ancestors began to settle in villages along Bayou Teche. At its height, their population exceeded 20,000 people, scattered across 15 villages in southern Louisiana. The Chittimacha were ruled by a male chief who had authority over all the villages. The chief inherited his position. Children belong to their mother's clan, a group of people who have a shared identity and descend from a single ancestor. Although women could serve as healers and hold positions of power, they could not have positions of religious authority. The Chittimacha developed music and dances to observe important occasions. People from different villages gathered for dancing and singing that lasted for several days at a time. By the time the French began to settle Louisiana, the number of Chittimacha had already been greatly reduced by epidemic sickness. In the early 1700s, the Chittimacha had a 12-year conflict with the French and their Native American allies. This reduced their population even further. The Chittimacha eventually made peace with the French, and the largest remaining group settled near Grand Lake in modern-day St. Mary Parish. In 1762, Acadian refugees were settled near the Chittimacha. Over time, some members of the two groups intermarried, and French became a common language among those families. Despite intermarriage, many Chittimacha maintained a distinct identity, but the group continued to face challenges. In 1855, a severe epidemic of yellow fever, a deadly disease spread by the bite on an infected mosquito, caused many deaths. In the same period, the Chittimacha sued the United States government. They wanted confirmation of their claims to traditional tribal lands. The tribe gained formal title to more than 1,000 acres, but hard times had forced some members of their tribe to sell parts of that land. In the early 20th century, the tribe retained less than 300 acres. A neighbor of the Chittimacha named Sarah McIlhenny, a resident of nearby Avery Island, bought part of the lost land and helped the Chittimacha regain control of it. In 1917, the United States government recognized the Chittimacha as a sovereign Indian nation. They were the first tribe in Louisiana to achieve this status. In 1917, the reservation consisted of 260 acres. Over the years, the Chittimacha have purchased adjacent property, adding another 1,000 acres to their holdings. In the early 1970s, the tribe adopted a constitution and bylaws. Today, the tribe has about 950 members and is governed by a 5-member tribal council. Approximately 350 members live on the reservation near Sheridan in St. Mary Parish. The reservation has its own schools, courts, and police and fire departments. The tribe also runs a successful casino and uses the profits to provide a variety of benefits to its members. Choctaw. When Europeans arrived, the Choctaw were the second largest tribe in the southeastern United States. They occupied an area that includes parts of present-day Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana. They lived in permanent towns, engaged in settled agriculture, and developed extensive trade routes. Long-standing conflicts between the French and the British continued when both nations began to colonize parts of North America. The Europeans wanted the tribes to choose sides. The Choctaw initially allied with the French. The Chickasaw, longtime enemies of the Choctaw, chose to support the British. These new alliances increased conflict between the two tribes. After the French and Indian War ended in 1763, the Choctaw split into two factions, one allied with the French and the other with the British. This new set of alliances led to a war within the tribe. Some Choctaw supported the American colonies against the British in the American Revolutionary War. A small group also supported Andrew Jackson and the U.S. forces at the Battle of New Orleans in 1815. By the 1830s, the Choctaw had made agreements to cede, give up, most of their territory to the United States. Today, most descendants of the Choctaw live on reservations in Oklahoma and Mississippi, but three groups of Choctaw remain in Louisiana. The Jenna Band of Choctaw is recognized as a tribe by the United States. Their tribal center is located in Grant Parish. Tribal members retain and pass down their language, skills, and crafts to members of the younger generation. Young Choctaw are taught how to make blowguns, prepare deer hides, and design and make elaborate baskets from oak and pine straw. The second Louisiana group is the Clifton Choctaw, who live in Rapides Parish. The third group is the Ebarb Choctaw Apache tribe. They are also known as the Louisiana Band of Choctaw. Their tribal office is located in Zwali in Sabine Parish. In the 1700s, the Spanish brought some native people from the Apache tribe into the region to serve as slaves. Some of the Apache escaped or were freed and joined a group of Choctaw who lived near the Sabine River. The culture of the Louisiana Band of Choctaw is a mixture of their Native American and Spanish heritages. In 1975, they began the Zwali Tamale Fiesta to celebrate both sources of their heritage. It takes place every year on the second full weekend of October. Homa. René Robert Cavalier Sieur de La Salle, the French explorer who claimed Louisiana for France, encountered the Homa people on his journey down the Mississippi River in 1682. At that time, their primary village consisted of about 140 cabins. It was located near the river at modern-day Angola in West Feliciana Parish. The Homa were forced to leave this location after they lost a conflict with the Tunica. They moved to the south, settling first at Bayou St. John near New Orleans. Later, they moved to Ascension Parish. They sold the Ascension Parish land to Acadian settlers and ended up in coastal marsh areas located in Terrebonne Parish. Because of their location near swamps and marshes, they learned to hunt, fish, and trap local animals like the crawfish. In fact, the crawfish is their totem, tribal symbol. Earlier, the Homa had adopted a tribal symbol called an estruma or istihuma. This tall red pole was located on the banks of the Mississippi River and marked the boundary between the hunting grounds of the Homa and the Bayagula. The French explorer Pierre Lemoyne Sieur d'Iberville saw the estruma and called it Baton Rouge, French for red stick. The name of Louisiana's capital city commemorates this early Homa totem and Iberville's name for it. Today, the Homa people live mainly in Terrebonne and Lafourche parishes. They currently number about 15,000 people. During the years they moved around Louisiana, they intermarried with Native Americans from other tribes. This mixing of different tribal groups helped the Homa to survive, but it has also made it hard for them to prove a distinct ancestry. Because of their proximity to Acadian settlers and their descendants, some Homa speak French and have adopted some Acadian cultural traits. The Homa are recognized as a tribe by the state of Louisiana. In order to provide federal recognition, the United States Bureau of Indian Affairs requires a tribe to prove a common ancestry. The tribe must also have lived in a distinctive community and maintain political influence over their members. According to the Bureau, the Homa do not meet these requirements. Despite this decision, the Homa continue their quest to achieve federal recognition. The Homa maintain a community center at Duloc, where they pass on the old ways, including lessons in traditional weaving and wood carving. They also continue to make traditional palmetto baskets. These beautiful braided baskets were born of necessity when the Homa used plants from the nearby swamps to make the containers they needed. Tunica Biloxi. The people known today as the Tunica Biloxi originally lived in Mississippi. The Tunica were driven into Louisiana when the Chickasaw moved into their territory. The Biloxi were forced inland when the French settled near their Gulf Coast villages. By the 1780s, both tribes had settled in Avoyelles Parish near Natchitoches. The Spanish gave them a land grant that promised they could remain where they were and keep their land. The Tunica were skilled and successful traders. They located their settlements near waterways that allowed them to travel long distances to trade with other tribes. Salt was one of their major trade goods, but they also traded arrow points, flint, and horses. Early Tunica traders used shell beads, quartz, and pearls as a form of money. They kept track of their trades through an accounting method that included bundling together sticks and putting knots in string to represent the numbers and kinds of goods they traded. The Tunica were governed by two chiefs. Their peace chief led tribal affairs, while a war chief was their military leader. Their totem was the rattlesnake. The Tunica used their skills as traders to gain respect and to try to control their relationships with French and Spanish settlers. In addition to trading, the Tunica also hunted, farmed, and fished. They not only supplied their own needs, but also had surplus food and animal hides to trade with the French. In 1722, a French priest observed that the Tunica chief had learned the art of laying up money, with the profits he gained by supplying the French with horses and food. In 1986, after 50 years of effort, the Tunica Biloxi achieved formal recognition from the United States government. They live on a reservation in Avoyelles Parish and govern their own affairs. They own and run a large casino and have used its profits to improve the quality of life for their members. They have a large administrative center and a museum that opened in 2011 to exhibit a collection called the Tunica Treasure. The collection includes many examples of the kinds of goods the Tunica traded so successfully with the French and Spanish. Quechada. The Quechada people, Coasani in their language, originated in modern-day Tennessee. They moved east in the 1540s in an attempt to avoid further contact with Spanish explorers. The Quechada stayed in modern-day Alabama for more than a century, but moved yet again, this time to avoid conflict with migrating English settlers. By the early 1800s, about 900 Quechada had migrated to Louisiana. As their ancestors had, they changed the location of villages to avoid being drawn into territorial disputes among Spain, Mexico, England, and the United States. In the 1880s, the Quechada purchased land and settled in south-central Louisiana, where they remain today. Their reservation is located north of Elton and east of Kinder in Allen Parish. The Quechada had a difficult relationship with the United States government in the 20th century. Despite ongoing disagreements, the tribe persisted and received federal recognition in 1973. Once it was recognized as a sovereign nation, the Quechada began investing in a variety of enterprises. Their most economically successful one is the Quechada Casino Resort. Tribal members also raise rice, crawfish, and cattle on tribal lands. This tribe of approximately 865 members owns 5,000 acres in Allen Parish and 1,000 more in neighboring parishes. One cultural achievement for which the Quechada are well known is the weaving of intricate baskets from the needles of longleaf pine trees. At one time, the baskets were made for everyday use. Today, the skill and dedication required to make these intricately designed woven baskets is widely recognized. Quechada baskets are highly prized by both museums and collectors. A collection of Quechada baskets is included in a permanent display at the National Museum of the American Indian in Washington, D.C. The lives of Louisiana's native people changed profoundly as a result of European settlement. Each group learned a great deal from the other, but not all of those lessons were positive or peaceful. In the era of European settlement and afterwards, Native Americans continued to exist, but their lives began to be shaped by new people and by forces beyond their control.